You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. It is now 6 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock. Welcome into hour number two of the big program on this Tuesday, February 4th. 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Welcome in. A little clouds moving in here downtown Madison to block off the Capitol Square. Zommers on the board, but still all in all, pretty nice, Zommers. I am in all white today for those watching on the stream, my Badger gear, because tonight, heard across much of Civic Media on stations like those in Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, Racine, Kenosha, and Richland Center. You can hear the Badger Radio Network, Matt LePay and Brian Butch call Indiana. The Hoosiers take on the Badgers of Wisconsin at the Kohl Center. 7 o'clock pregame show, 8 o'clock tip-off time. And if you're not in one of those communities, you can still listen to the broadcast free of charge. Just download the old Civic Media app. You could do it on your Apple or iPhone. Why do I say that? On your Apple or Android device, simply go to your app store, type in Civic, C-I-V-I-C. It pops up. Takes less than a minute to download. It is free. It's what Gail King at CBS calls a deal. Maybe I should stop using that line now because I'm a little salty at CBS these days.
It may be... Yeah, maybe this is your way of boycotting CBS, is stop mentioning Gail King every day.
But I do love me some Gail King, you know.
I'm sure she didn't make that choice.
No, I'm sure she did not. All right, so I'm dressed. I'm going to the game tonight with good old Scan Dan to the game. It should be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it. Badgers got a big win over the weekend. Big comeback game for Happy Gilmore. Not really happy, but great game down in Illinois. A big comeback win. Badgers try to keep the win streak or make it two in a row here against Indiana tonight. Tip-off time at 7 p.m. Lots to get to. As we said, our good friend Jay Matinair and Greg Bach on their show, Matinair on Air, 10 to noon. They talked a little bit about this in hour number two of their show. We touched on it with Luke Mathers. I want to continue diving in a little bit more on this piece called Notes on the Crisis by Nathan Tankus, T-A-N-K-U-S, where he really outlines some of these dangers of what's going on, kind of cutting through the politics and the hyperbole to the real. And this, you've heard me say a lot of this show, there are a lot of distractions, you know, kind of shiny objects for the cat to get distracted by. This is not one of those. This is a real deal. This is a private citizen without Senate confirmation, without security clearance, having access to $4.7 trillion of our tax money. So I want to discuss that a little bit more this hour. We have a what's worse for you as well. But first things first, we plugged this at the end of the last hour with our friend Luke Mathers. We were up against the clock. I just ran out of time. We were having too much fun with Lukester. And by the way, thank you to Luke Mathers for being here. Now, Groundhog Day was Sunday. And anybody, I love Groundhog Day. Unfortunately, we weren't on the air for there was this book that my mom bought my sister and I when we were kids called Will Spring Be Early or Will Spring Be Late? A great book for kids and adults about Groundhog Day. So Lukester, who lives out in some prairie, the home of Jimmy the Groundhog, who you and I, Zommers, have talked about this a few years back, bit the mayor in the ear. It was a bloody incident.
A little bit of blood.
And so the groundhog is no longer allowed to be picked up and put up to the ear of the mayor in some prairie.
Now he's caged.
Now he's caged. But despite that, he predicted, he did not see his shadow and predicted an early spring for those of us in Wisconsin. That's great. Well, of course, the person that gets all the credit or all the big publicity is Punxsutawney Phil out in Pennsylvania. So first, Summers, let's play him the cut of the Punxsutawney guy who's reading. We're not going to play. We'll play the start of the prediction because it's very well written. I want to play some of that. And then we're going to play a little bit of Democratic Governor Josh Shapiro, who is standing up for tradition, standing up for groundhogs. But first of all, here was part of the prediction from Punxsutawney over the weekend.
Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. Now on this February 2nd, Punxsutawney Phil, the seer of seers, the prognosticator of all prognosticators, was awakened from his wintry nap at dawn on Gobbler's Knob. Phil looked to the skies and then, speaking in groundhogese, directed the president to the proper scroll, which reads, "What a way to start a Sunday fun day. You always said you'd make it here one day. To this place, barely big enough to contain ya. To this sweet Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. We're all here with the elements combined, where Mother Nature meets Father Time. To hear the truth, are those gray skies? Only I know you can't trust AI. It's Groundhog Day, and maybe life is on a loop. But I miss my burrow, I miss my coop. So I'm headed back down. There's a shadow up here. Get ready for 6 more weeks of winter this year."
I love every part of that. It's well written. It's well delivered. And I thought it was well done.
My favorite part is the video because, you know, they're just wearing their like wool coats and a top hat.
Right. Yeah.
And the guy next to the one reading the scroll is, you know, he's got a big old beard. He's holding Punxsutawney Phil and he just has the biggest grin on his face. He's like, "This is the greatest day of my life."
It really is. Maybe next year because it's during the week next year, maybe we do the show from Punxsutawney next year.
That would be great.
Wouldn't that be fantastic? Anyway, I mean, I know it's goofy. I know it, meteorologists just despise it. But it's just something that's fun. It's unifying. Nobody gets hurt unless you're the mayor of some prairie who loses an ear. But other than that, nobody gets hurt. Well, here you have. And look, you know, I know they do some good work. All right. But the folks over at PETA, something about ethical treatment of animals.
People for the Ethical Treatment of
Animals. Thank you. Yeah. That's it. PETA. They haven't got enough to do. So they decided to go after Groundhog Day. And so they started calling on people in Punxsutawney, "Don't disrupt the groundhog. It's very hard on the groundhog's psychological ethos. He needs to sleep all winter. Don't touch the groundhog. But what you can do is you can have a cake, just like a gender reveal party. And you'll cut the cake and then open it up. And one of the colors will be for spring and one will be for 6 more weeks of winter." That's what the PETA people want. Come on!
So is this cake vegan or is it made with milk and eggs?
Thank you. Of course it would be a vegan cake if it was for the PETA people. And, you know, traditionally, a lot of lefties would say, "Well, we should probably consider that. We should probably consider that." But you know what? There's one Democrat with some chutzpah.
He has the courage to say what's right.
Who speaks the truth. We're talking about Democratic Governor of Pennsylvania, Josh Shapiro, who was in Punxsutawney this weekend, and this is what Governor Shapiro had to say.
"I don't know if you heard about this, but there's some folks who are coming for Phil."
Boo.
Yeah. "There's some folks out there who say we should take this great tradition that stretches all the way back to the 1880s and get rid of Phil and replace him with a cake. That's their crazy idea. Hear me on this, Punxsutawney. If anybody comes for Phil, they're going to have to go through me and all of you, am I right?
Yes. Yes. Josh Shapiro.
Pennsylvania, happy Groundhog Day. Have an amazing day. I love you. Enjoy yourselves.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Josh Shapiro. That's exactly what Democrats need. That's the kind of candidate Democrats should be running right there.
They got to speak to the people.
Yes.
Maybe don't mention that they used to eat the groundhog, but.
Did they?
Yeah. We talked about it a year or two ago on Groundhog Day, where in the 1880s, they used to eat the groundhog after.
Well, that's right, because it led to the discussion about me having eaten squirrel.
Right. That's right. Yep.
There's nothing wrong with that. For those of us who grew up in Southwest Wisconsin with squirrel hunting, it's very tasty, actually.
I bet it is. I mean, rabbit is good.
Yes. I think that's great. See, this is exactly what, I mean, we kind of laugh about it, but this is exactly what Josh Shapiro, or what Brian Schatz, Democratic Senator for Hawaii, was talking about, what he said in this article for Politico. Democrats need to start talking like normal people. Don't go politically correct on every single thing in life. My gosh. The groundhog loves it. Look at, he had a smile on his face. His teeth were sticking out. He was so happy you could see his teeth.
No ears bitten.
No ears bitten. It was a great event. And I hope it continues. And God love Josh Shapiro for speaking up. All right. Should we open this up or should we wait till we come back?
Let's wait till we come back.
Wait till we come back. All right. So we're going to come back. We're going to do a little what's worse having to do with your energy level. So that'll be fun. Let you call in on that. We'll continue at some point, talk a little bit more men's basketball. And we're also going to go through a little bit more of this story from Notes on the Crisis, from the doggy, or the doge, as they say, Nathan Tonkis, on how Elon Musk now has access to trillions of dollars of our tax money. And this will be great. We have a quiz for you today. We might take calls on this as well. Jimmy Carter was far from alone in reaching the milestone age of 100. How many Americans are age 100 or older? Any guesses, Albers? I'll hold that thought. We'll come back and tell you the answer on the other side. It's a Tuesday. It's the All Ball Show, and you're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
All right, this one goes out to little Jimmy, the groundhog in Sun Prairie. Hang in there, little buddy.
Welcome back to the show, 21 past the hour of 1 o'clock on the Civic Media Radio Network, trying to break out of his cage, Jimmy the Groundhog in Sun Prairie.
He'll get out of there one day.
One day.
I believe in him.
Well, I think my understanding is that when it's not Groundhog Day proper, that Jimmy is a free-range groundhog.
I'm sure he is.
All right, so we were doing a quiz before the break. Jimmy Carter was far from alone in reaching the milestone of age 100. How many Americans are age 100 and older? Any guesses, Albers?
I am going to guess 10,007.
All right, 10,007. They've broken it down here to A, B, C, D. Is it A, 22,000?
Oh, I didn't know it was multiple choice.
Well, I wanted to get your, before I did this, I wanted to get just your gut reaction. So A, 22,000, B, 55,000, or C, 77,000, or D, 101,000 Americans that are age 100 and over?
Well, I'm wrong.
No, I'm maybe. But which one you're close? So would you say 22 or 55?
So what's the population of America is like 300 something million,
305,
right?
308 million, something like that.
Yeah, I don't know. And not everybody lives to be 100.
No. No, very few.
I'll go with 55.
That would have been my guess. Jimmy Carter, far from alone and reaching the milestone of age 100. How many Americans are 100 years or older? 22,000, 55,000, 77,000, 101,000. In America today, there are 101,000 people
really?
Who are age 100 or older. As Johnny Carson once said, I did not know that. That's amazing, isn't it?
I wouldn't have guessed.
101,000. Of those 100 or older, 78% are women, 22% are men.
That I did know. Not the numbers, but I did know it was disproportionately women.
It's incredible. 77% are white, only 8% are black, 7% Asian, and 6% Hispanic. So there's that. Japan has almost 50% more centenarians than the U.S., despite having just 38% of our population.
So yeah, our life expectancy here in the U.S. is not great compared to other, you know.
Well, the Japanese are so healthy. They drink tea and they hike mountains and they eat fish.
We eat fish, but only if it's deep fried on Friday.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. There you go. A little hitherto unknown facts from the Ken Lewis U.S. History Department. He'd say that in 7th and 8th grade social studies. Here now, a hitherto unknown fact about Mao Zedong. All right, let's go. Time for What's Words. We'll open it up. This or that, this or that. Then, of course, the choice is yours. You can get with this or you can get with that. Time once again for What's Worse. No prize money involved, nothing to win, but your chance to have your voice heard across statewide radio. 11 stations in every major media market. There is no better place to advertise to get your word out than right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. All right, this is timely, timely indeed, as Mike Lucas likes to say, because I think this time of year, some of us, it hasn't been as bad for me this year, I have to say. Get into the, I'll call it the winter blahs. Now, we're past that December 21st mark, so already the days are getting longer in terms of light. That helps a guy like me. But I think, and also it hasn't been extraordinarily cold most of the winter, and little snow, which is terrible for our ag producers. But I don't know. This has been a pretty good winter for me so far. Of course, now I've jinxed it, but how about you, Zomers?
It's been, it's been all right with that, you know? But you got to get a sad lamp. That helps.
Sad lamp. That's sad. But we get low energy. So here it is. Today is what's worse. What's worse, low energy or high energy? What's worse, low energy or high energy people? Low energy people or high energy people? What's worse? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. You can also text us on the Civic Media app. 855-752-4842. Give us a call. We'll talk. What's worse? Low energy people or high energy people? Sometimes it depends, like, what you're doing. Like, if you're in the middle of a meeting or something like that, or if just hanging out together. But some people are just naturally low energy. Like, they just, kind of like Eeyore. Like, I don't know. I'm kind of tired. I don't want to do that.
I think it also depends. Low energy can mean they never do anything. Low energy, if you take it to mean a drier sense of humor and maybe a lower volume, you know, that can be good.
Right. That is true. But then some people are just like, come on, let's go. Lots of energy. So what's worse, low energy people or high energy people? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. You can also text us on the Civic Media app, like Brian, listening on WAUK in a beautiful Milwaukee. Brian says, what's worse? Low energy, especially when it's coworkers. They get nothing done. Brian from Milwaukee. Dave in New Berlin, listening in, says it depends what the wife and I are doing.
Oh! Fair enough. You know, like if they're getting coffee or if they're going to a movie. You can't be high energy at the movie. You're just going to disrupt the experience. I think that's what he means.
I think that's a very honest answer. I appreciate that. What's worse, low energy people or high energy people? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. I don't know why this popped into my head. I've told this story before on the air, but there was a time in my life, and everybody, I totally believe this. Everybody at some point in your life, you should either drive a taxi or Uber or Lyft or something like that, because it's a great way to get to know people, and it's a great experience, and it helps us all understand each other better. So for about a year or so, I drove Uber as my primary job, and I was working around campus here. I would always like to take people to their event, but not pick them up after bar time. And this college kid gets in with, I assume it was his girlfriend, and they were kind of dressed up. They were going out to the bars, and you could tell they had pre-gamed. And they got in the truck, and he's like, dude, sweet ride. I never got an Uber that's a truck. Like, dude, like, what's her name? Like, I don't know. Dude, you got to name this. I name everything. Like, my plant, my cactus. He was a high-energy dude. Back after this on Civic Media. Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 34 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock on Tuesday, February 4th, 2025. Going to get back to our regular show in just a minute. But first, I want to bring an update to you, particularly for our listeners on WRJN and WRJC in Racine in Kenosha, and also perhaps for people and other people in Southeast Wisconsin who may be seeing reports of this. According to CBS News affiliate here in Madison, channel3000.com, Dateline Kenosha, Wisconsin, a shots fired report at Bradford High School in Kenosha was confirmed as a swatting hoax. According to Kenosha police, said there was never a threat to students, staff, or the public. Anyone with information about similar incidents is asked to contact the Kenosha Police Department at 262-656-1234. Again, the Kenosha Police Department number is 262-656-1234. 561232. If you're not familiar with what a swatting incident is, it's essentially where someone calls in a false report. So someone would call into a law enforcement agency and say, hey, I'm at place X. They pick a place and say, I'm here. And they make up something and say there's a shooting incident, or I'm being robbed, or my house is on fire. Please come quickly. Please come quickly. And so the 911 dispatcher calls out the guard and sends all these people. You have SWAT people and other people, law enforcement. You have live ammunition. You know, and you're going to this and you're trained to obviously think clearly, but your adrenaline is flowing, thinking you don't know what you're going into. And then enforcement officials get to this place, in this case, Bradford High School in Kenosha, surround the place looking for a shooter, and it's all a joke. Or that's what, of course, it's not a joke, but it's all a hoax. The danger is that communication of these incidents can be difficult, because when law enforcement arrives and they start trying to communicate, where's the shooter? Where's the shooter? And someone on, there's no shooter. The law enforcement don't know. Well, is that true? Or is that the shooter coming out saying there's no shooter? And ultimately, it increases the risk and chance that someone will actually get hurt and or killed in these hoaxes. It's sick, it's despicable, and it's disgusting. But can report to you, if you have friends and family in the Bradford High School in Kenosha, that the shots fired report is a swatting hoax. It did not occur, according to Kenosha police. Police said there was never a threat to students, staff, or the public. So thank goodness, thank God, all seems to be safe at the Kenosha High School. We will certainly bring you more as this news continues to unfold. Further reports throughout the day on Civic Media. Again, the shooting report at Bradford High School in Kenosha was a hoax. Never happened. Very thankful for that. 38 minutes now past the hour of 1 o'clock. Back into the show. We're working on this. You understand? We have these meetings. We have lots of meetings, and we need to tie up this segment better. And we realize that, so we're working on that. But the thing is still open for right now. What's worse, high energy or low energy people? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Low energy people or high energy people? What's worse? Zomers, what do you think?
This is one of the hardest ones for me to answer.
Really?
Because at times I can be either, though I think I tend more towards low energy. And when somebody is so low energy that they never want to do anything, it's like, hey, I'm your friend. I want to see you. Let's do something. That sucks. But also, when you just need some time to chill and relax and everyone just like does not shut up and keeps asking you to do stuff, like, I don't know. It's that this is a tough one, but I think I'm going to say low energy is worse, because if somebody's too high energy, you can just leave.
Well, that's true. That's true. I think we're in agreement with you on this one, Zomers, as far as I'm concerned. What's worse, low energy people or high energy people? I would tend to agree. The overall low energy is, I think, sometimes harder to adjust to.
Right.
Than a high energy person. And it goes, I won't tell the whole story, but it goes back to my college days when I was dating this girl before I had things figured out. That was probably part of the problem. But you know, so we were dating, we'd get together after school, after stuff got done. And I was working at the student radio station, TV station. I was covering Pioneer Sports. I was going all over for that, and it was a busy day. And I'd, come after school, go to her place, and she'd say, well, how was your day? And I'd say, well, yeah, a little bit stressful. I had to, write up this pregame show for the game tomorrow night and get our travel arrangements done. And then I had to fill in for somebody who couldn't make a news shift today, but, I had an exam, but happy to be here. How was your day? And she'd say, oh, mine was really stressful too. Like my guppy keeps knocking over the plant in the aquarium.
Wow.
That's not an exaggeration for dramatic effect.
Wow, that's pretty low energy.
Pretty low energy. Pretty low energy.
Certainly too low energy for Todd, among other incompatibilities.
The occasional benefits were nice, but other than that, that didn't last as it turned out. And of course, low energy, that was made popular by Trump himself during the 2016, when Jeb Bush was one of the candidates in the primary. He famously called Jeb Bush low energy.
Which isn't wrong.
Which unfortunately, it's not wrong. You remember that when Jeb Bush was campaigning with his mom, the late, great Barbara Bush, and he said something about his career in Florida, and people just sat there. And Jeb Bush goes, please clap.
Yeah, the two most iconic moments for me with Jeb Bush are please clap and the pocket turtle.
Yeah, yes. So yeah, Jebbers Bush was low energy. All right, well, that's there we go. Matt Middleton says low energy is worse and unwanted in an Elon Musk economy. Well, yeah, that's probably true, right? That's as well. Tyler in Columbia County says high energy when someone is like Hammy in Over the Hedge, who naturally doesn't need coffee, has coffee, all bets are off. Tyler says Hammy is the squirrel in the movie, but not a black squirrel.
So I think it seems like we got more votes for low energy being worse.
Yes. Yeah. All right.
So low energy is worse.
Low energy is worse. There you go. That's how we play it on the old What's Worse every afternoon. You can join us in hour number two. Always a little fun, a little lighthearted. Nobody gets hurt. A lot like Punxsutawney Phil. He just have some fun, you understand. Let's see. Breaking news off of CBS. A Senate committee votes to advance Tulsi Gabbard's nomination for the Director of National Intelligence. You know, so if you haven't started, you know, never too early to start drinking at 1:43 in the afternoon. What else we have here?
Pretty sure RFK Jr. is also confirmed.
Yeah, RFK, well, he passed out of committee this morning. So there's that. That's what's going on. All right, I want to spend a little time here before we go today on this piece called Notes on the Crisis by Nathan Tonkis. Talked a little bit about this, touched on it in hour number one. Some really, really great reporting here. Talking about Elon Musk and his made-up agency called DOGE, D-O-G-E, the Department of Government Efficiency. It's not a real thing. It's not a department. There's no appropriation through Congress. You can't just create departments. But anyway, in the DOGE, there's this guy called Marco Ellis, 25-year-old guy. He is a former SpaceX employee. And here's the thing. A lot of people said, well, you know, Elon should have the right, as Trump's appointee, to have access to review this stuff to find out where we could, make cuts. Well, I got a problem with that, number one, because Elon Musk does not have any security clearance that we know of. It's one thing to just have access to look at this stuff. Well, now, according to this reporting, Elon and his lackey, Ellis, have read and write access. Now, I'm no IT tech guy. Lammers knows that. But I'm smart enough to know that if you have read and write access, that means you could go in and actually change things in the program, the software, what have you.
Yep. Very dangerous. Very dangerous. For a lot of reasons.
So this access for read and write to the, and this gets a little technical, called the Payment Automation Manager, better known as PAM, and Secure Payment System, SPS. At the Bureau of the Fiscal Services, PAM processed $4.7 trillion of payments in 2024. So now Elon Musk and his employee from SpaceX have access to $4.7 trillion of U.S. money. Wired, magazine online publication, Wired first reported that, quote, typically, those administrative privileges could give someone the power to log into servers through secure shell access, navigate the entire file system, change user permissions, and delete or modify critical files. Additionally, Nathan Tonkis reports, I can exclusively report that while there was initial hesitation from IT leadership to give them the access, they relented. However, they still believe this was extremely risky, with one member of leadership saying, quote, I've never done anything like this before, unquote, according to a source familiar with the situation. A current IT employee told me, the reporter, quote, this level of unchecked access is critically dangerous to the economy and the government, unquote. When the reporter replied, quote, this is terrifying, unquote, to being informed that they have to write access, the source replied, quote, yeah, it's not good. Read privileges on its own still would have left room for catastrophe. But read and write is Well, it's cut off there, but it's terrible, basically. Oh, apocalyptic. Sorry, it was powder was cut off. So read and write is apocalyptic. That's the full quote. The reporter goes on to say it is yet unclear whether anyone at the payment application modernization system or the secured payment systems have been put on paid administrative leave, coerced into resigning, or quit in protest. One senior IT source can see this lackey of Musk retrieving, quote, close to 1,000 rows of data, unquote, but they can't see the context because the system is classified as top secret, even to them. No source I have acknowledged of what Doge or Doggy is doing with the data they are retrieving. So they're getting the data, but because right now they don't have top secret security clearance, they can't yet see it, but they do have access to it. A source stated to the reporter, quote, I would report insider threats to the appropriate security channels inside the government, but get this, there is no one left for me to report it to, unquote. There's no one left for me to report it to.
Well, like you said, it's not too early to start drinking.
Reporter goes on, Nathan Tonka says, I would also like to clarify some confusion on social media. The issue with understanding and grasping this system, known as COBOL, is not knowing COBOL as a programming language. It's abstract. The issue is understanding the specific physical limitations to the system and the way that it integrates with business logic. The bottom line is an unelected, unvetted, uncleared person has access to $4.7 trillion. Back after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, where it is 9 before the hour of 2 o'clock. Coming up at the top of the hour, a little news, weather, and sports. Sports from our great sports reporter, Mike Clemens. I understand that Mike Clemens is going to be going down to the Super Bowl here this week. We may have a report from Clemens on Friday from NOLA.
Indeed, we will.
That's fantastic. Nobody does it better than Mike Clemens, and so he'll be following the Super Bowl. Of course, the Eagles and the Chiefs coming up this weekend on Sunday. Mike Clemens will give us a report on Friday. Looking forward to that. So that's all coming up here at the top of the hour. Then after the top of the hour, I should say, at 2 o'clock, Maggie Dawn in with the Maggie Dawn show today. Looks like Maggie is joined by Civic Media political editor Dan Schaefer for State Slate, a conversation around the political news of Wisconsin. And then Maggie welcomes to the show Judge Susan Crawford. Look at that, Judge Susan Crawford. Excellent. To talk about a race for the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Big show over there at the Maggie Dawn Show today. Check that out from 2 until 4. Dom Selvey's show from 4 until 6. And then, of course, you have a Nightlight with Pete Swaba from 6 until 8. Pete is a showbiz veteran, writer, actor, comedian, tackling tough questions like what should I binge watch next? That's what it says. I'm just reading what it says here. I'm just reading what it says. You understand?
Pete Schwab knows what's up though. It's always a great show.
It is. And I say this often. I always learn something when I listen to Pete Schwab. That interview with the guy that was on Groundhog Day, the movie. That was a great interview. Very, very cool, very chill. All right, and then tomorrow for us, it's a big show on Wednesday, Hump Day. We've got our friend Pat Kreitlow from Up North News Radio. He will preview his favorite Caribbean drinks. He's about to go on a little vacation down to the Caribbean, or Caribbean, as they say. So I'm going to set my rooster and my alarm for Friday, because I have to get up very early on Friday. And I'm happy to do it, you understand. But I'm filling in for Kreitlow on Friday on the 7th. And then a week later, I'm also filling in for Kreitlow. You're going to be gone on Valentine's. You're leaving me with Luke Mathers for Valentine's Day.
Just as it should be.
And just as it should be. It should be fantastic. So here now, let me play for you. This is my alarm set for Friday morning. Let's see if this works.
Yeah, a rooster.
You like that? That is a Salvadoran rooster. Here we go.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Here we go.
Did you record that?
That was sent to me by my comadre directly from El Salvador. Yeah. That's the alarm clock. So I put that on my phone, and then that's what gets me up.
And it just plays over and over.
Right, exactly. And the thing is, if you don't like that alarm clock, you can eat it.
That's true. That's a good point.
All right. Well, look, what's happening in Washington, like we say, can be a little overwhelming and whatnot. And you got to respect somebody who just tells the truth, I guess. We've talked about this guy on the show before. This is Senator Kennedy. No, not that Kennedy that died from Massachusetts. And we're not talking about RFK, who is going to be the new Health and Human Services Secretary. We're talking about this guy, Kennedy, from Louisiana.
Yep.
Louisiana. And he is a real humdinger. He's a real humdinger down there. And so he said, was this yesterday or today?
This was last night on Hannity.
Last night on Hannity. We don't play a lot of Hannity clips on here, but I think it just shows the callousness and the cavalier attitude of some of these top MAGA people out in D.C. This is Senator Kennedy from Louisiana. Who put it down there where the chickens could get at it and said exactly what he thinks last night on Fox.
To my friends who are upset, I would say with respect, you know, call somebody who cares. They better get used to this. It's USAID today. It's going to be Department of Education tomorrow.
To my friends, with respect, call somebody who cares.
He's like, you better get used to it. Everything's getting shut down. Suck it up.
I mean, it's not funny, but it's just so over the top that it actually is funny. It's so bizarre, right? That this dude, Kennedy, can just sit there and say, yeah, we're closing it down. Department of Education, gone. DEI, gone. USAID, gone.
Department of Education, not like that helps him much anyway. Louisiana is one of the worst educated states
now,
in the country.
Now, Jacqueline, our human resource director, I love Louisianans.
Just mean, clearly he doesn't care about the people of his state on how the leadership has been doing there, is all I'm saying. Nothing about the citizens.
I just like the accent with the cavalier attitude because it just fits.
It does.
You know, the guy, and the thing is, with respect. With respect. I respect you. I just don't respect you. Oh, now here's our friend Rob, the listener. There's more to the cut, apparently. Apparently, he said that, and this might be part of what's wrong with him. Apparently, Senator Kennedy goes on to say that he likes omelets better than sex.
In the same cut?
Yes.
I'm going to have to look this up and find it.
Come on. I mean, I've had me a couple of good omelets in my day. But better than sex?
Some breakfast food is pretty good.
All right, we better get out of here before we're taken off the air. Stay tuned. Maggie Dawn is next. We'll be back, I think, tomorrow with Trigby Olson and Pat Kreitlow. Many thanks to Lukester Mathers for Tuesday Tangents with Lukes and all of you for listening. Have a great day. Hang in there, whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in. Do not give up. Keep banging your drum. Go Bucky tonight. It's a whiteout at the Kohl Center.
Keep banging on your drum.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.